In the name of the one God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Philippians 4:13 is perhaps one of the most inspirational, as well as one of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, I will readily admit, when I was in college, I had this citation written on the back of my running shoes. And it's a slogan that's used by high school softball teams, Ironman triathletes, and American Idol contestants. And the way we use it, the underlying sentiment, is that we can accomplish any task. I can realize any dream that I might have or any goal that I might wish to attain if I simply rely on Jesus to get me there. Jesus is my cheerleader, and I can do anything as long as He's rooting me on. Do you want to get in to Yale? Well, you can, because you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Do you want to lose some weight so you can run a marathon? Well, you can, because you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Do you want to get that promotion at work or land that new account? I think you get the picture. The problem with this application of what Paul is saying is that so often it falls very flat. In fact, we often have very audacious wants, things that we hope to accomplish. But you know what? No matter how much I want it, I am never going to be able to throw a football like Patrick Mahomes. I'm never going to be able to play the guitar like Eddie Van Halen. Those simply aren't my gifts, and it's not going to happen. So what then is Paul talking about in this verse? Now, as is the case with most verses in Scripture, we have to put it into its greater context. And Paul's letter to the Philippians was written from prison, likely towards the end of Paul's life. And it's a letter of encouragement to the church. And you can see throughout it Paul's great and abiding joy. And this, in and of itself, is very remarkable because, at least from our perspective, what did Paul have to be joyful about? He had been through quite a bit in his own life and ministry. And as a priest, I often spend time hanging out with pastors from various other traditions. But I found that one thing we have in common is anytime we all get together, inevitably we start sharing stories of how we have been hurt in ministry. And I've yet to meet someone who's been in ministry for any length of time that doesn't have multiple stories about poor treatment and betrayal at the hands of the very people that they've committed their lives to serving. And so it's not surprising that you often see older pastors who are angry or just bitter with the world, the people, or the church. And while I've heard some heartbreaking stories, and I've probably told a few of them myself, none of these stories can really compare to what Paul had been through. And yet, here in Philippians, where we would expect to see anger and bitterness as Paul approaches the unceremonious end of his own life and ministry, we see nothing but pure joy. Paul even begins our reading today by telling us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." The attitude that Paul has stems from what he then refers to as the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, this is a peace that comes not through having an easy life or having an abundance of things or even having an absence of conflict. But rather, this peace that Paul talks about comes from a deep and abiding trust in the Lord, that He is in full control even when it seems like there's nothing but chaos around us. Now, Paul continues with this theme of rejoicing in God, starting in verse 10. And he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." See, rather than being dismayed at his current situation, Paul actually rejoices that it's given the Philippians an opportunity to minister to him more fully. And he then goes on to say, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." And that verse right there is really the key to unlocking this entire section of Philippians. "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul is talking about a contentment that's not based on his current circumstances. And he fills out the picture in verse 12 by saying, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Paul presents us here with a very countercultural image of contentment. Now, for us, contentment comes when we feel happy or satisfied with something we have or something we've done. And for some people, contentment comes from having the right house in the right neighborhood. For others, maybe it's about working for years until you finally attain the right job or the right title in front of your name. We all have this sense that we need just one more thing, the right car, the right spouse, the right weight or dress size, and then and only then will we finally be happy and content. And I think this is why contentment for us is so elusive, because there's always going to be something else that we feel like we need. I remember when I was 11 years old and I started learning how to play the guitar, and my parents got me a pretty inexpensive nylon string classical guitar. And it was a great instrument to learn on, but I wanted to play rock and roll. And nobody on MTV played a nylon string acoustic guitar. So I thought, if only I had an electric guitar, boy, I would never want anything else again. As long as I live, I would be content. And so I finally got a sparkle blue Memphis Stratocaster, and it was really great, at least for a while. But after a while, I thought, you know, I really wish I had a better guitar. I even found a little Fender logo that I could put on the headstock and cover up where it said Memphis, so people thought that I had a better guitar than I did. But I eventually got a better guitar, and I even got more guitars. But even today, after all these years, I still find myself longing for a Paul Reed Smith Custom 24 or an American-made Fender Telecaster. And if someone handed both of those to me right now, I would be so excited, and a week later, I would be longing for something else. The old joke amongst guitar players is the perfect number of guitars to have is represented by the equation N plus 1, where N equals the number of guitars you currently have. Here's the problem. Every time you get a new one, the equation stays the same. And I think we can apply this equation to so many different things in our lives. For so many things, our contentment is represented by N plus 1, and it never changes, and so there's no wonder we have such a hard time finding contentment in our lives. But Paul flips this whole attitude on its head. And for him, contentment has nothing to do with his circumstances. During his ministry, Paul saw quite a few successes. But he saw probably a lot more failures. Paul was beaten. He was run out of town. He was made fun of. He was even arrested and thrown in prison on multiple occasions. Imagine putting all of those things on your job resume and trying to find work. But Paul's contentment didn't come through a sense of satisfaction in having accomplished or acquired something. Instead, it came from the joy of knowing that God could use him and his ministry in any situation. If we look back earlier in his letter to the Philippians, he even says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me," and he's referring specifically to being in prison, says, "what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul understands that even his imprisonment is a way of advancing the gospel to those who might not otherwise have heard it. And it's a way of emboldening people to speak the gospel without fear. Rather than wallowing in his anger and self-pity, rather than pointing fingers and complaining about how oppressive the Roman government is, Paul simply finds joy in the fact that God is using him, not even in spite of his situation, but because of his situation. When Paul concludes this thought in today's reading by proclaiming, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," he is saying that Jesus will strengthen him to endure any situation for the sake of the gospel. Even in prison, he can find joy because he knows that all of these things are being used for God's glory. Paul is not saying that he can accomplish any goal that he wants with Jesus, but rather that Jesus will accomplish his purpose through Paul, regardless of the circumstances. This contentment that Paul has can only come through his deep sense of abiding trust that God is in control and that God will be glorified no matter what. And Paul believed this 100% without a doubt. But do we believe it? Do we trust that this is true? I will admit, it's really hard to be content these days. I remember being so encouraged this past February. We had just planted a new church that had already doubled in size. Our Ash Wednesday services this last year, most attended Ash Wednesday services in the history of All Saints. We're in the process of instituting this new member integration process that was already starting to show fruit, and we were bringing people in and we were getting them involved, and I was so excited to see what would come out of Lent and Holy Week and Easter. And then suddenly the world changed. And almost 7 months later, the deacons and I are conducting twice as many services every weekend for half as many people. We finally resumed our in-person education classes this weekend, and we've been criticized for waiting too long to start and starting too soon. It's really hard to make the right decision in a culture where every decision you make will be wrong for someone. We want so badly for things to just return to normal, but we have no idea when or even if that's ever going to happen. And it can be so easy for us to become discouraged. But we need to ask ourselves, if Paul were here right now, in the midst of our current world, what would he do? Would Paul just throw up his hands and give up? Would Paul moan and groan about how much better things were before? Probably not. I think Paul would rejoice in what God is doing in the midst of our current circumstances. Because despite the many challenges we face today, there actually are amazing things that are happening. And we've discovered that we really need to step up our use of technology for the church. And so we've started recording services and classes and all of these other things and looking for a way to put out digital content on the internet. And we're finding that people who were shut in for various reasons, even before all this happened, suddenly they're able to participate in the life of the community in a brand new way. And at the same time, we're reaching out to people not just in Springfield, but all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That never would have happened before. We've had to delay the beginning of in-person Sunday school time and time again, and that's been very frustrating. But at the same time, it's given us an opportunity to give more resources to our parents so that they can take the promises they made at their children's baptism seriously and begin discipling their children in the home. We've seen the formation of a brand new group at All Saints called the Sunshine Seniors that will seek to address the needs of the many seniors in our congregation, many of whom have been hit so much harder by this pandemic than younger people. All of this stuff is amazing. And so rather than sulk about how much things have changed, let us rejoice in how God is using even this moment for His glory. Now, ultimately, true contentment will never be about who we are or what we have, but rather, it's about who we trust and what He does. So do we trust that God is in control even when all we see is chaos? Do we trust that He will work all things for His glory? Do we trust that He will sustain His people even in the midst of difficulty? Now, if you find that you have a hard time trusting God, I want to issue a challenge to you today. Now, this week, the vestry and I will start working on the 2021 budget. And with so many unknowns in the coming year, this is going to be a challenging process, more challenging than it's ever been. But one of the things that makes it easier is knowing that all of us are trusting God together as we move forward. In the coming week, you should all receive a pledge card in the mail. Now, if you've been an Anglican for any length of time, this is something that you just come to expect in the fall. But I've learned with lots of people coming in from different traditions, this is not universal in the church. And so there are a lot of people who are very confused by a pledge card or who are turned off by it or don't know what to do with it. Let me try and put you at ease a bit. Please know that by filling out and returning a pledge card, you are in no way making a financial obligation to the church. We're not going to report you to the credit bureaus if somehow you fall behind, and we're not going to come after you if you don't make your pledge. That's not what this is about. In a very practical sense, this is simply a tool that allows the vestry to be good stewards of our resources. It ensures that we are not spending too much or too little on the things that we've been called to do, serving the congregation and serving the community. But beyond the practical purposes, which admittedly, are very important. There's also, by filling out a pledge card, it's a very helpful spiritual exercise for each of us. In the midst of a world of uncertainty, it's a way for us to take what is most important to us and to lift it up to God and say, Lord, I know we live in challenging times, but I also know that you are in control. I know all that I have is yours, Lord, and I offer back to you this portion. Now, if you've never done that before, it can be really scary. But I will tell you that in 20-plus years of ordained ministry, I've never had someone come to me and said, boy, I'm really sorry I made that pledge to the church. My faith has been reduced significantly as a result. On the other hand, I've had countless people tell me that by the simple act of writing it down and turning it in, that it has forced them to trust and rely more deeply and more fully on God and His providence. My friends, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can find contentment even in the midst of uncertainty, because we know that that contentment is not based on what we have or what we do, but on what God is doing. And so I encourage all of you to use this opportunity to embrace what God is doing today and allow Him to show you the true contentment that can only come through trusting in Him. Amen.